This week will be part one of Soft as Steel, followed by part two next week.
Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Good afternoon. I'm Michael.
I'm David.
And here's Keith.
So I think we got a caller on with us. Keith, you there?
I'm on.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, thank you for letting me sit in your chair today.
Hey, anytime.
Keith, Michael's in your chair. She's in Michael's chair. Okay. You know, he's got the buttons. Michael has all the buttons today. See? There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So today we come together and we asked Julie to come on to be with us to talk about stories about Grandma and Grandpa. And starting with a question that we've asked every one of our guests.
Oh, okay.
It was, we've asked Aunt Mavis and we've asked Gary, what's your favorite Bible verse and why do you think it is?
Oh my gosh. You mean in this season of life right now?
This season of life.
Wow. There's so many.
And it could be in any verse from way back.
Yeah.
I mean, just one that touches you.
Okay. Let me tell you one that's on my heart right now. And I can attribute that it being fresh on my mind to one of our cousins who is out in, I believe she's in Austin, Texas right now. It's Jessica Mock Friesen.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about?
That's
Debbie Bowen's
daughter.
Debbie Bowen Lessard's daughter, Jessica Mock Friesen. Yep. And recently she posted to Facebook Isaiah 40:31, which says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." And she had the word wait underlined and then an arrow drawn. And she had some explanation of the word wait. And it said the word wait here is the Hebrew word for quavah, which means to bind together, to be joined, to meet, to expect, to be confident, to trust, to endure. So if we plugged in that definition into this scripture, it would read like this. Those who are bound together with the Lord, joined with the Lord, those who meet with the Lord, who confidently expect, trust, and endure, will renew their strength. So it's being united with Him, trusting in Him and knowing Him. That is waiting. And I can't think of a better introduction for a podcast where you guys asked me to talk a little bit about our grandma and our grandpa, but particularly our grandma, because you asked me for the, you know, from my point of view. Y'all, can't you see her? I need those tissues earlier than I thought.
Yeah.
But can't you see her being bound together with the Lord, joined with the Lord, meeting regularly with the Lord, confidently expecting the Lord, trusting and enduring with the Lord. And boy, did He renew her strength daily.
That's right.
Don't you remember her sitting in the chair in the living room after she had cooked and cooked and cooked in the kitchen. And she sat down. She could have closed her eyes and took a nap. She could have kicked that recliner back. She could have turned on one of the three channels on the television.
Yeah.
But she picked up her Bible and she read and she talked to the Lord and talk to us about the Lord.
That's right.
And that, you know, I would be, first of all, let me say this. I would be remiss if I said, this podcast today is to lift our grandma up and just tell what a wonderful woman she was. She was, but only because of her Savior, Jesus Christ. She wouldn't even want us to just start saying good things about her without saying the purpose of this whole podcast is to point others to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And I know that is y'all's overall purpose.
Yes.
And that's the purpose of our lives. So we get that out of the way right off the bat.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to start off with, here, do you mind me just kind of like going through a list of things that somebody said, so what did you learn from grandma? What did grandma teach you? What did your time with grandma in the kitchen, in the yard, on the front porch, in the swing, what did those time under the pecan tree, shelling peas, you know, what, shucking corn, what did those times, what did you learn from grandma? I just want to go through some things and y'all tell me about your thoughts.
Talk right. to us.
And that's, you here? That's good, Julie, because, you know, not everybody knows that you and Wendy and me and Justin grew up underneath grandma and grandpa.
Yes.
A lot of our cousins, they weren't around as much as us.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have a very unique perspective. I would say you spent more time with grandma than any other grandchild. I mean, it would be hard for anybody else to do it. We were there every day.
The only spanking I ever got from my daddy, let me clarify. The only spanking I ever got from my daddy was for crossing the highway to go to grandma's house when he told me, do not cross the highway. And I just, I just needed to be there.
We did, didn't we?
Yes.
I mean.
Yes.
You had a similar, didn't you?
No, they were so scared when I did it that they didn't whip me.
They liable to beat you to death.
What was I, 18 months old?
Yeah, you walked out of your house and walked to
down the dirt road and across the highway to grandma's.
Yeah.
18 months.
I'm glad there's not as much traffic. There was not as much traffic
Man,
on that road
really?
Then as there is now.
But, really? That's crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought I'd start off with something that might shock you, but there is a method to this madness. There's an order to my thoughts, okay?
Go ahead.
One of the first things that grandma taught me was we have an enemy, and the enemy is real.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, I don't remember grandma using the words Satan or Lucifer, or, you know, I don't remember her using those words very much, but she would say, the enemy. And it was like she was acutely aware that we were all in a spiritual battle every day of our lives. And that there, you know, that there is a spiritual realm. There's so much more than just the physical realm that we see with our eyes and we feel with our hands. And that we had an enemy, and that we ourselves were absolutely worthless to go up against that enemy, that we had to have, that we were in need of a savior.
Yes.
That we had to have the assistance. We had to have more than just the assistance. We had to give our lives over to a Savior in order to redeem ourselves and to have a fighting chance against the enemy.
Right.
And that's, I mean, we dove off in the deep end, I guess, right off the bat. But I just feel like there could be people listening who may be thinking, gosh, I'm having all this trouble and I'm struggling and da 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 da. There we have an enemy who wants very much for us to be defeated.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, and it's only just recently that well, in the last few years that I woke up and realized how crazy it really is on the spiritual side with the enemy.
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen things in the past that, yeah, that's evil and this, that, and the other, but here lately I've witnessed it come at me, and until I turn it over to Jesus, pray about it, get rid of it, do I see it leave me alone? And right. And I have to ask help here in the church and, you know, to pray for me to get rid of that coming against me. And, you know, I'm glad that I've turned my life over so I can.
Absolutely.
It's liberating. That what Julie's talking about is fear. You know, when Satan's attacking us, he creates doubt in your mind, and it turns into fear. And fear can be depression. Fear can be anything. And the biggest thing about, you know, fear is it makes you feel crippled, like you can't do anything. And I think from Grandma's perspective, and I picture her and I remember her, I never remember her fearing anything. Not that she didn't pray for things, but she expected things to happen too. But I never seen her living in fear. No. And one thing about it, I mean, think about all the grandkids running around. I can see some of, I'm not going to mention any names, but I can see other grandparents that they wouldn't let their grandkids do the things that we did.
Oh, my Lord, we did some crazy things.
Hey, Keith, you got anything to add there?
I mean, I can remember I couldn't ride the motorcycle, so I was sitting on the motorcycle, and I fell over. And a plow went in my leg, and I'm sure Grandma was praying for me, but Aunt Marie said, oh, it don't look too bad. I didn't get stitches, you know, and I was probably 7. I know it was after we moved back, but, you know, those were the things that, nowadays, it seems like everybody's their thought process gets to running before they even realize it. And, you know, then I was thinking about that when you were talking earlier, Julie, you know, with Grandma. A lot of times you just saw her looking off. Like you said, she could have been doing a lot of things. She probably should have been sleeping if you get right down to it as much as she did do.
Yeah.
But you would just see her in thought. And like we talked about, I think last week, she'd be whistling.
Yes.
But she wasn't ever, like you say, fearful, but she wasn't ever in turmoil in thought. It was always, she was confident and comfortable anytime I saw her. And that, you know, thinking about it now, there's a lot of things we saw then that made absolutely no sense to us about how she handled things and did things. But now looking back, it makes complete sense to us.
Yeah, Keith, you said confident, comfortable, and I guess if I were a Baptist preacher, I'd have to finish that up with the third point. Content. She was confident in her Savior and in who she was in Christ Jesus. And she was comfortable that even when she didn't have the answers or she didn't know what the outcome was going to be, that God had it under control. And she was content. And when I look back, I think about there were a lot of things that Grandma did not have. you know, that she deserved, I think. I mean, like, she worked so hard. She deserved the very best of everything. But she was content in the condition that she was, like Paul tells us about, you know, being content. But she would rather have blessed others with the abundance and the overflow than to bless herself, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. She was extremely generous, not selfish at all. David,
she always said her mansion was in glory.
Absolutely.
I don't know how many times I heard her say that as I was growing up, that her mansion was in glory.
Yes.
This world, what that means to me now, I didn't get it at that time, but this world's vapor. It's all for naught, you know?
There's nothing
here. The things
here
of the world.
Right. There's nothing, no material, nothing that has material value that's going to last into eternity.
Right.
The only things that will last into eternity are the souls of men and the things we do for God, you know, to affect the souls of men. But yeah, David, you were talking about fear, and I just feel like Grandma knew without a doubt, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. He had plenty of opportunities in her lifetime to lose her mind, to not be of sound mind. I mean, I just can't even imagine raising 10 children, and the 10 children that she raised were not always easy. Just, you know, just listening to them talk, listening to the stories they've shared, they didn't always make life easy. Grandpa didn't always make life easy.
Lord, no.
Not for her.
Lord, no. Oh my goodness.
And you think about it, she had every excuse that you hear today of people that suffer from depression and things like that. You know, she lost three children. One passed away in her arms. I mean, I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't. You know, the only time that I ever remember her talking about that, it was very seldom, but she was always doing it in a way to keep us reminded of it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like she was dwelling on it, but it was, I don't know, just trying to keep them in our mind, because we always knew that there was three others, you know? I don't remember ever not knowing that she had lost three babies, right?
Right.
I mean, so they never tried to hide that from us or anything like that.
Right.
She had every reason. 10 growing kids that were driving her nuts. All them grandkids driving her nuts, and Grandpa.
And let's not forget all the years that she was in the middle of the sandwich. We talk about the season of life you go through when you are still raising children, but you're also caring for your parents and their growing needs as they age. Grandma was very faithful to take care of her parents and Grandpa's parents, you know, when the need arose. I was telling Aunt Cindy last night, I remember getting in the vehicle with Grandma, with my mama, Grandma, and Great-Grandma Bowen, and going grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Four generations of us.
That's right.
And Grandma Bowen was driving. She was driving the bus. And might have been paying the bill. I don't know. But anyway, and it was, she could have had the look of frustration on her face. She could have been frustrated. But I only remember seeing the look of love.
How many books of green stamps do you think y'all got that day?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, because that's what it was all about at that time.
David, my very first Bible, Grandma bought me with green stamps.
That's right.
What is it? I don't remember.
S&H green stamps.
S&H green stamps. Mm-hmm. And, and I still have that Bible.
Books and books of green stamps. I remember she would collect them all year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know, sometime around this time of the year, we would get to put the stamps
yes,
in the books.
Lick and stick.
And then she would go yeah. cash in her books. And
when we got tired of licking or run out of saliva, they said, hey, you can wet this washcloth and wipe it.
It was fun. It tasted
yeah.
terrible.
Yeah, yeah. But
but I think for me, that brings up something that I hadn't even thought about green stamps. I didn't know it from being around Grandma. By the time we moved back, that was kind of out. But when we lived in Oklahoma, I can remember the green stamps. I remember going to the place where you could cash them in. And I hadn't even thought about that. And that's part of what I envision this conversation each week doing. Even though there's distance, even though there's circumstances, we're gonna remember things, and it's gonna jog our memory.
Mm-hmm.
As people listen, the same thing, because for those first 6 years of my life, it was once a year that we came home for a week, maybe 10 days, because with Daddy being a preacher, there was no missing 2 Sundays a year. I mean, you know, for vacation. And we traveled. I don't remember traveling from Oregon, but from Oklahoma, we tried to come once a year, and it was 1,000 miles. And, you know, when we moved back, things changed drastically for us. But it was those times that I still remember little bits and pieces, and then once we move. But hopefully what this is going to do is help others to have the bits and pieces, and it's going to come together.
Hey, you're breaking up on us. You sound like you're in a drum trying to catch fish.
It's okay. You said this. Hopefully, this podcast will help other people get the bits and pieces, and we're hearing bits and pieces of you. So it's okay. It's all right. We did hear that, though. We did hear that. So another thing that I started off pretty heavy
yeah.
with. We, you know, Grandma taught me early on. We have an enemy. And in our fleshly nature, as it's referred to in the Bible, we're not so good ourselves. I mean, we're really not good at all.
We're all sinners.
We're all sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's in the book of Romans. But so we need a Savior. We were talking about that a while ago. However, 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. That I just remember Grandma stressing that to us, that greater is he who is in us, Julie. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And y'all, when we look around this world today, I mean, that verse gives me so much peace. Because when I look around this world today, there's so much evil. There's so much evil. And sometimes, like you were saying, like, oh, Grandma had every practical excuse. Reason, every excuse to just hang her head and give up and wallow in depression and whatever, but she never did.
She never showed it if she did.
Right. We all, as Christians, could very easily, I think Satan tempts us, and we could very easily get our eyes on the evil that surrounds us, the evil that touches our lives on a daily basis. But we are missing the mark if we don't focus on, but greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. And it's not up to us. You know, like back to my list of things that Grandma taught me and stressed to me as at a young age. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. There's nothing in this life. The purpose of my being here is not to bring glory or pleasure or anything like that to me, but it's to point others to Jesus, as we started off this.
That's right.
Yeah. So even yesterday.
I think we just lost Keith.
Okay. Even yesterday, I was, today, this morning, I was reminding one of my girls who was talking about dealing with other people. You know, when you enter the work world and you are working with people with different personalities, you know, and I told her, hey, remember?
Keith Hughes.
That's our telephone.
Oh, there's Keith. Okay. Anyway, so I was telling her to remember to keep the main thing the main thing. Go to work, do your job, do what you're there to do, and remember, it's not about you, honey. Mm. And my girls have heard, I have three daughters, in case anybody here doesn't know. My girls have heard me say that a lot.
Say their names.
Emma Grace, 23. She's working as a registered nurse and continuing school to get her BSN. Ella May is 20. She is student teaching and working on a dual degree in special education and early childhood education. And she's earned her ag endorsement. And before she's finished, she'll be able to teach agriculture in kindergarten, pre-K through 12th grade. And then Elizabeth Lynn, and she is 16 and is a junior at Pierce County High School. And hopefully she'll be a guest on this podcast sometime soon.
We really would like to have her come on.
Yeah. But anyway, so they've all heard me say, honey, it ain't about you.
That's right.
Because, y'all, we live in a world today that, with all of our children, the media, social media, everything.
It's all smoke.
It's all about you. You deserve this. You deserve this. You need this. You should have this. Parents worshiping their children. And then here I am coming along telling my children, it ain't about you.
That's right.
Get over it.
It really is. It's anti-world, the way we were raised. It's not all about me. You know, that is what it is today. It's all about me.
Right.
But get over
yourself. Right. This is not about you.
Not.
And I don't ever remember Grandma saying those words to me. Julie, honey, it ain't about you. She didn't say that, but she lived it by example. Yeah. She showed me that I don't need to have all of my wants and wishes in order to be joyful. He's where the joy is, to quote Tara Lee Cobble from the Bible Recap. He's where the joy is. I think all of our children need a little more of, it ain't about you, sweetie.
True.
It's about Jesus, pointing others to Jesus.
Not just our children, we do.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We need that, too, every day.
Yeah, I need it on the daily. Yes. But that is not, but just in case my husband Chip is listening, that is no reason for you to tell me, honey, it ain't about you.
And he will.
Okay.
We all have that coming our way.
Yes. Yep. But again, our fleshly nature is sinful and selfish and prideful. And we live in a society that nurtures that because it's about greed and money. And, you know, people feed into that so that they can get, you know, they can get a little bit of what you have by feeding into your selfish desires. Okay. So, I've got, what is it, Michael?
I'm just waiting on the phone to ring again.
Okay. Okay.
Go ahead.
So here is another.
I just fixed it.
All right. Here is another key point. And I was sitting at the football game last night with Candy, our cousin Candy, and she even said this. So I know this really rings true that Grandma said it to more than just me. Well, what does the Bible say about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we went over that in one of the first ones.
I mean, that's.
Yeah.
That was her answer. That was her go-to.
What does the Bible say about that? And the very first time I remember Grandma asking me that, and it wasn't like she was preaching a sermon. No, Julie, let me tell you what the Bible says about that. It was, what does the Bible say about that?
She challenged you.
She challenged, that was the word I was thinking, Michael. She challenged me to find out for myself and make it my own so that those roots in my relationship with Jesus would grow deep.
Right.
That I would live it and experience it and test it out. And the very first time that I remember hearing those words come out of her mouth was when I really wanted my ears pierced. And my daddy said no. He wasn't having it. If the good Lord wanted you to have holes in your ears, he would have put them there. Is what he said. Yeah. He also, going back to what we were saying a while ago about it's not about you, his way of saying that was, well, you ain't too old for your wants to hurt you.
There you go.
And obviously, I'm still not too old for my wants to hurt me.
She had to take her earrings out to put her headphones on to do this podcast. So she did get some holes in her ear shot.
I did when I turned 20 years old and I felt like it was safe. I was about to get married in a couple of months. And I thought, it would be okay. It was all right. My daddy wasn't upset with me. But when I was about 7 or 8 years old, he said, no, you're not getting your ears pierced. And he kept saying no. And I, if I'd had the technology today if I'd had the technology back then that I have today, I would have had a slideshow and charts and graphs and everything to present to him to persuade him why I needed my ears pierced. I was just that passionate about it. But instead, I thought, I'm just going to go straight to the jugular. I went to his mama.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Grandma. And I just knew that Grandma would see things my way.
Yeah, because she loved you. And she was always there for you.
And she wanted to, it was all about bless. She loved blessing her grandchildren.
That's right.
And so I said, Grandma, is there anything wrong with me getting my ears pierced? And first she said, well, what does the Bible say about that? And I said, well, Grandma, I mean, I'd heard about Jezebel and,
That's right.
Jezebel. Anyway, Jezebel. Anyway, and in the Bible, and I was like, but Grandma, I know that there were women in the Bible with their ears pierced, and I know a lot of good Christian women who have their ears pierced, and it doesn't mean that you're not a good woman, and I just don't understand why. And I let it slip that my daddy didn't want me to have my ears pierced, which she knew that already, mm-hmm. And she said, that's not what I'm talking about, Julie. What does the Bible say about obeying your parents?
That's right.
Grandma. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is good.
That's right.
And you know what? That was the last conversation we had about me getting my ears pierced, because she corrected me and reminded me that, I just needed to obey my father. And no, there was nothing wrong with me getting my ears pierced, but there was something wrong with me disobeying my father.
That's right.
And
that was the lesson.
That was the lesson. And I took that lesson into adolescence and, early adulthood and now midlife, because now
you're having to teach it.
I'm having to teach it. And as Christy and Jeff always said when they were training their children, obey and be blessed, or disobey and suffer the consequences. And Grandma was teaching me, obey, Julie. God is a, just like your father is a good, good father, our God is a good, good father. And the things that he tells us, while we don't always want to obey, the reason he tells us those things is because he cares for us. He loves us, and he mm-hmm. wants, he wants what is best for us. Now, that may be someone who may be listening who doesn't have a walk with Jesus yet. You may think, that is crazy. What does having your ears pierced have anything to do with God's will for us? But you know what? I don't know why my daddy didn't want my ears pierced, and it doesn't matter. But there have been plenty of times in life when I didn't understand why God was leading me in certain directions and leading me through the leadership of my husband in certain directions. I didn't understand it. I didn't want to go there. You know, I didn't want our life to take that turn. And yet, because I learned that lesson so long ago, obey, 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 and trust, trust and obey. Mm-hmm. My dad used to sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way. You know, mm-hmm. So I learned to trust and obey, and I've been tremendously blessed by doing that.
And you learned it at such an earlier age, but it wasn't like it was in a couple of hours you just realized that. You still wanted to get your ears pierced for years and years.
Yeah.
But it didn't scar you for life, right?
Nope.
I mean, that's the lesson.
Absolutely.
You know, some things we don't understand, but because our Father says that's the way it is, especially when you're 6 or 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much you don't know.
Yep. And then I'm just going to touch on this briefly, but moving in because we're...
What did you just say?
I'm going to touch on this briefly.
There's nothing brief about when you go to talk to Julie.
No, really. I'm going to touch on this briefly because you said that we could do a podcast later. Y'all are going to regret asking me to come on with this.
No, we're not.
But anyway,
no.
You said we could do a podcast later about another topic. So I'm just going to kind of give the intro to that.
I got you.
Okay.
Yep.
But as a young adult, Chip and I, my husband Chip Griner, Chip and I dated for 5 years before we got married, and then we were married 5 years before our first child, Emma Grace, came along. But somehow, in those 10 years, I don't ever remember having the first conversation about what would happen when we had a baby. And in my mind, that sounds stupid, doesn't it? Like, looking back, how could we not have even discussed what would happen? He was working a job. I was teaching school. And in his mind, and my mama was standing there with her arms wide open, waiting, salivating, wanting, like for the first time. Everybody knows, if you know my mom, you know she's the baby whisperer in the family. But for the first time, this was her first grandchild. She was just waiting to get to keep her first grandchild while I went back to work teaching elementary school. But when Emma Grace arrived, those maternal instincts kicked in, and I didn't want to leave her, not even with my mama. And I told Chip, like 2 or 3 days before pre-planning, I'm not going back to work. And he said, what? 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 Well, that's not our plan. And I'm like, no. This is your plan. You have a plan and I have a plan, but we don't have a plan. And anyway, and it was bad. I just sat there and cried and cried and cried and rocked my baby and thought, I can't leave her, you know, and I can't divorce my husband over this because we just had a baby and this is crazy. But anyway, he wouldn't see things my way and I wouldn't see things his way. And so, you know, I called Grandma, and Grandma said, I just poured my heart out, and I just cried and cried and cried. And here's the comfort she gave me. Julie, what does the Bible say about this? Oh, my Lord. Here we go again. And I was prepared, just like the last time. I was prepared. I said, Grandma, it says, train up your child in the way that she should go. And when she is old, she will not depart from it. Lord, Grandma, that was a directive from the Lord to me. And I need to be here to do that. And she said, and you will, Julie, you will. What else does it say? And this is not a popular topic, but it's biblical. Wives, see to it that you submit to your husbands. Respect your husbands. And I'm just going to throw these words in there too from my life. Trust your husband's leadership. Lean into your husband. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to trust that his plan was the best plan for our family. I wanted to be the stay-at-home mom and hold my baby all day, every day. But I knew obey and be blessed, or disobey and suffer the consequences. And I trusted my husband. No, actually, at that moment, I didn't. I trusted the Lord.
That's right.
And the promise of his blessings through obedience to him. And I looked at Chip and I said, I'm going to go back to work in 2 days, or it might even be the next day. I'm going to go back to work. But if anything happens to our child or any of our children, subsequent children in the future, it's on you, buddy.
Yeah.
And he's accepted that too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, let me let you say what you did about honoring your husband, all right? And people, you say that's not popular today, and it's not if you just say that part, but there's a whole nother part that goes with that. Yes, you know.
Yeah.
You have to marry a godly man.
Right.
And then the godly man has a lot of things that he has to step up and do too.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're honoring your husband, your husband better be putting you first. That's just the way it works. I say that after Jesus. We know Jesus is first.
Biggest things that I can remember from doing premarital counseling with Daddy was he looked at me and Elizabeth and he said, what do you give? Each of you give in this marriage? And you know, you're thinking, well, it's 50-50. And we both kind of looked at each other and we said that. And he goes, no. He said, it's 100-100.
Mm-hmm.
And in tandem with what Julie's saying, I think we husbands have to remember, and wives remember, we can't do it just like our parents did it. We've been fortunate to have parents because of our grandparents that never expected us to do it just like they did it. In fact, a lot of times they've told us, hey, don't do it this way. You know, avoid these.
Yeah, pitfalls. Learn from our mistakes.
Right. You don't have to find out for yourself. So that, you know, but as husbands and wives, the best way to do it is to come together and say, okay, what can we do? You know, yeah, that's your idea. Yeah, this is my idea, but what's our idea? You know, mm-hmm. based on scripture. And
right.
And I guess that's where, when I look back at Grandma and Grandpa, what strikes me is I don't remember a lot of conversations between Grandma and Grandpa. And of course, there couldn't have been many when we were around because there were so many of us. But the unity that was there, the strength of their relationship, it wasn't until later on in life when Grandpa wasn't out in the field and Grandma wasn't in the kitchen all the time that I can remember walking in and them actually in the same room with me talking to one another. Almost, you know, and I didn't think about that, but that bond.
Yeah.
And the only way that bond gets stronger is to have a little bit of adversity.